I sit alone, planning the rest of the day. Last night I was joking and smoking in broken Pashto with the resident contingent of the AUP, the Afghan Uniform Police. I introduced them to the beauty of Dominican tobacco, hand-rolled and perfectly aged. They all seemed to enjoy this symbol of Western democratic values, the fine cigar. An AUP approached holding a rickety old birdcage occupied by a rickety old bird. I wasn't sure what to think as he set it in front of me. "Good," he said, and gave me a thumbs up. Not wanting to be rude, I reciprocated the gesture. "Good, nice bird." What else could I say when shown an Afghan bird? "Is you bird," he replied. "You keep." "No, no, no," I tried to say. I can't keep a bird." I stood to return the bird, but he turned and walked away. There I was, flabbergasted, holding my bird in my hand, wondering what to do. In the part, the bird was given in return for the cigars, a gesture of friendship, but even more an attempt to be known across a deep cultural divide. I didn't want to be rude, but the last thing I needed was a bird, a rickety old one at that. Luckily, another AUP who spoke better English than I speak Pashto returned the bird and conveyed my thankfulness for the gesture. Our new friendship remained intact, bird or no. We share very little with the Afghans. Our cultures are stunningly different. Our concepts of human meaning and value have dissimilar foundations. Ours is the inherent value of the individual as an individual. Theirs is the meaning the individual gains from relatedness to tribe and clan. However great our differences, this moment revealed to me an eternal truth. There is something at the core of humanity that makes us the same. We all long for connection. We all desire to be known as ourselves. This human need to be known even across the widest rifts of our culture, or any culture, may be the one thing with the power to bring lasting peace to our world.
A few months ago, my oldest and best friend's husband died. On their daughter's 15th birthday, he woke up, had a heart attack, and could not be revived. As I heard those words across the phone line, the description of how he died, the affirmation of his goodness through our tears, I thought how grateful I was to know such a good man. How grateful I was that he was like a brother to me. See, they were there for me when I was at my lowest. I had just signed the divorce papers and fled to be with them for some much needed healing of my brokenness. My second family, my tribe, my clan, and now half of the clan was dead. Just 1 week earlier, I was on the phone with my best friend when her husband insisted on getting on the phone. He told me I needed to get out there as soon as possible. Just hop on an airplane and get here. Everything else will be taken care of. It was a remnant of a conversation from many, many years prior, and then there it was. The memories flooded back to me, and I felt compelled to hop on that airplane as I did years earlier. A need for some healing, perhaps? But this time, the timing felt impossible, so I reasoned I couldn't go. And then a week later, he died. My best friend and I discussed that the best time for me to come out there was really when the dust settled and everyone was gone, leaving Mike's precious family all alone. And so there I began making plans to come out to be with them during the first holiday without a husband and a father and for me without a brother, this Thanksgiving will be that holiday. And I remember my first Thanksgiving without my own father. He had died similarly during the summer, and he too had a heart attack. A few months later, I was to begin a new ministry, and I was grateful to be in community with those who gave hugs on a Sunday morning, affirming to me that I was loved. Those hands of the divine reminding me that love was present in the religious community at a time when my faith was questioned as a response to the loss of my beloved father. And when I looked into the eyes of a beloved community, I felt I was connected to something larger than myself, and I was strengthened by that knowledge. And my faith restored somehow. As I reflect on this upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, I realize that more and more of us need tribes, need clans, need family. We all need to love and feel loved. We all need to feel wanted and needed in a world that sometimes makes us feel as if we are unwanted and not needed. In the words of our reading, we all long for connection. We all desire to be known as ourselves. To be known as ourselves. To be able to bear our pains to the world and know that it is held by a family, whether gained by birth or not. To be known as ourselves means that when we are in pain, there's someone there to hold us, like the hand of the divine caressing us and telling us that it will all be okay because we belong and we are loved and we are needed. A friend of mine in Iraq many years ago told me of dreams to study abroad. I couldn't believe that anyone in a war-torn country would have dreams anymore, but they did. And this friend was not the first. There were others who shared similar thoughts with me. And I would think, what keeps them going? The answer is connection. Feeling as they belonged to a tribe of peoples who believed and had faith as they did that all would be well, even if it was in another country. Knowing that there were those willing to listen to their hopes, their dreams, their pains. And I asked my friend this after he had passed by another street that had just witnessed an explosion by yet another car. His passing by just 1 hour prior to that explosion. How do you all keep going? How, I wonder, did they all continue to dream knowing that they could walk out that door and another explosion could take their lives? The response was a belief in beauty in the world, a faith in the inherent goodness of humanity. How can you believe in such goodness, I asked, when car bombs are exploding a few streets away from your home? Look at the gardens, the reply came. The gardens, I asked. Yes, the gardens, those planted, created by human beings in the midst of suffering. This beauty is evidence that there is still goodness within humans, he said. That humans still care to create beauty amidst the suffering. gardens, evidence of beauty and goodness in the world, evidence that there are hands working for the divine to remind us of that goodness, even in the midst of a war-torn country. Iraq, the home of the first garden, the Garden of Eden, a symbol of life. Ever since that conversation years ago, it became more and more important to me to see the beauty around me in order to recognize the goodness of the world on days when I couldn't see it. And at a time when I felt such suffering in my own life, I made daily trips to a beautiful garden just so I could renew my faith and witness that there was true goodness when I wondered about the goodness of people. For George A. Tiger, a Unitarian Universalist minister and military chaplain, and the author of our reading this morning, his evidence of goodness and beauty while he served in another war-torn country, Afghanistan, came in the form of a gift. Two cultures finding that gifts spoke more than anything, and that being grateful for those gifts was truly the real gift in the end. Gratitude is done in connection to another. Whether we are grateful for a smile, a hug, a kind word, a gift of beautiful music, of architecture, of food given us from the farm to the table, or the creation of a garden, or simply a symbolic gift of a bird. It's all in connection to another human being. Gifts come from one to another. And what do we sing every Sunday? From you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, and from this we live. And it affirms that when we recognize that connection, that we need others, we can begin again and again and again in a world that just may make it difficult to do so sometimes. This week, news came to me from Iraq. A 7.2 earthquake near Erbil. I heard that people were running for their lives, and I think of the effects of war not just on human-made things such as buildings, but on the earth, Mother Earth, the earth that gives us the bread of life. And I say a prayer for those devastated among devastation, in a country fighting against other humans trying to take their homes, and now fighting against natural disasters, and I whisper to them, remember the gardens. Remember the beauty. Go to the gardens. Go to goodness. Feed your soul. The other morning, not too far from where I live, I was stopped in a long line of cars, and I looked to the left. There I saw a few homeless people who had spent their night on that street. One of the homeless had set up a chair and a footstool, and a blanket was spread out so beautifully on the ground, used as a bed. I thought all that was needed to complete the home, four walls and a roof. And I thought how having a chair and a blanket, a place to rest in a difficult world, may just have been symbolic of gratitude. And I wondered if this homeless man was grateful for that chair, that blanket, that street. It occurs to me that Thanksgiving is a time to practice hospitality. Hospitality for friends and family, and for some, strangers. Some of us may feel called to feed the needy in soup kitchens this holiday, the ultimate welcoming of a stranger. But I wonder, how can we welcome the stranger every day, not just on Thanksgiving? See, hospitality is gratefulness in action. Gratefulness in action. My late brother Mike demonstrated his being grateful for what he had had by being the most hospitable person I knew, always taking care of those in need of healing, beckoning them, come. Come to my garden. Creating his own garden that fed the hungry, so to speak. And I ask you, are our communities demonstrating that they are truly grateful when we have homeless lining our streets? How are we feeding the hungry the bread of life in our own gardens of beauty? Are we not grateful in community when we are there for one another? My prayer for you is this, that on this Thanksgiving, you feel grateful for the community of friends and family surrounding you, and that no matter what you are going through, you feel loved and cared very deeply. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be with Mike's family, even though I need to leave my own biological family in which to do so. But I'm grateful that I get to be there for them at such a difficult time. And I'm grateful to be in community, not alone, at a time of mourning, of loss, of loved ones. I'm thankful for the beauty created by humans, whether for the sake of justice and righting wrongs, or for reminding us of goodness in the world. And as you all know, as a cancer survivor, I am grateful every day when I wake up and I'm alive. I'm grateful to be alive, though, at a time when the most important thing that maybe we humans may need to learn to save our world, to save our planet, to save ourselves, is to be thankful every day. And so I say in gratitude, thank you for these life lessons, however difficult they may have been. And thank you for the reminder that beauty is everywhere, especially in the gardens of life.